Welcome to Bass Fan Radio, presented by Spro, home of the sports professional, and Yamaha Marine, when you want the best. And now, here's your host, John Storm.
Welcome to Bass Fan Radio. I'm your host, John Storm, and I'm here with John Murray. How you doing, John?
I'm doing great.
Where are you right now? You home in Phoenix?
Yeah, I'm sitting down in Phoenix. Got a cold front going through. It's only going to get up to about 58 today. So, yeah, it's freezing down here in Phoenix for us.
Well, that's great. You taking a little break from fishing, or you got some stuff going on down there?
Actually, I've been fishing almost every day. I've got a lot of series of local tournaments that I've been fishing, just one-day events just to stay sharp and, you know, different lakes around here that, you know, keep different techniques going and you know, just stay sharp on all my fishing.
So you call it staying sharp. We call it cherry picking.
No, it hasn't been. Actually, since the first of the year, I have not put a bass in my last two tournaments. I haven't put a bass in my brand-new boat, so I'm a little worried, but... I'm getting ready to catch some fish, hopefully one of these weekends.
Well, great, John. You know, the reason we're sitting down here is to talk a little bit about your fishing and some other topics. And what I wanted to ask you is, this year, especially towards summer, but also starting off in Amistad, you broke from your tradition a little bit, and you fished the final day six times this year. You made six final day cuts, which is huge in this sport. Can you talk about that? Was that a goal of yours this year, to make more cuts?
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously on our tour, you know, you're not, the only way to upgrade your pay at all is to make a final day cut, so you have to adapt your fishing. Now, the one thing that helped me this year is, I room with Skeet Reese, so, you know, I've done it for all these years, and Skeet was hot. So, I mean, I sort of rode his coattails, had the confidence to make my decisions. I really never fished around him or many of the same patterns even, but just had the confidence and to go out there and catch fish and, you know, just tried to stay close to him, and it, you know, had my best year ever, really.
Did you feed off his energy, you think, a little bit?
I think you do. I think, you know, you get the confidence going in the room, you start talking about things, and you just go out there with a strong feeling that you're going to do well. And I think the more Skeet did well, I mean, it really helped me, I mean, and vice versa. I mean, we both had confidence on doing different things. Worked out well. Well, there's a little competition between us, but after all these years, we don't have a lot between us. It's more wanting each other to do well.
That's great. And what was it like watching him on his run this year? It was pretty fantastic.
Yeah, it's sort of amazing. After the first tournament, he said, you know, he wanted to win Angler of the Year on stage. And I go, man, I wouldn't say that with Kevin Van Dam standing there. But, you know, he stood up and he said he could fish with Kevin, and he proved it this year. He did great. I mean, that's one of the things that I think marks him different from past years is the confidence level. And, you know, you've seen it with other fishermen. Once they get that confidence rolling, man, it really translates into some good tournament finishes.
Is that goal for you, too? I mean, are you going to be able to carry this into this current year?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I my mental state probably isn't as good. I really am not in favor of going to Florida that much. I'm not a big Florida fan. So I got to get over that. I've done okay there, but I've never done real well there. You know, I really think they missed the boat by not going to California again. But we have some great tournaments in Texas and Kentucky and up north. So, I want to weather the first two tournaments, and then I think I'll be competitive the rest of the year, and I feel pretty good about it.
But you got a big one coming up before that, Florida Swing in Lake Hartwell for the Bassmaster Classic.
Yeah, another one of my favorites. I Clark's Hill, I fished it four times. I've never got a check. Last year I missed it by 1 ounce. So they say it fishes like Clark's Hill. I'm like, oh, man, I hope it fishes like something different, because that lake hasn't been nice to me. So, you know, I've been doing a lot of studying and all that stuff, but I've never seen it, and I'm just going to go and, you know, Skeet and I are going to work on it together, so I feel confident that, you know, maybe we'll figure something out.
But one of the things hanging out there right now is that this event, this classic, could be won on suspended fish, in which case that would put somebody like you right there in the mix, I would think.
You know, I got on my phone, I got the 10-day weather forecast for Greensville, and I watch, and it's been getting cold the next couple weeks, getting cold. Yeah, I love that fact. I'd love to see the deep water bite turn on and really be the major factor. I feel like I could compete under those levels. Those blueback herring, they don't act like shad. I mean, so that's the difference. You know, the suspended fish under shad, I think I understand. I haven't really figured out what those blueback herring do, but, you know, I'm ready to go try it.
And I'd have to guess, if it was a suspended fish bite, that would take at least half the field out of it right there.
Yeah, once you get deeper than 20 feet or more, you know, half or three-quarters, especially guys that haven't been on lake, are going to, you know, fish the banks and go to the dirty water and stuff like that, which is, you know, a standard way to do well. If the conditions are right. And towards the end of February, I just don't know if that, you know, I never really see those kind of conditions in February. January, yeah, early February maybe, but by the end of February, those conditions, usually those fish are coming towards the bank no matter what part of the country you're at.
And, you know, a lot of people have said that in order to win a classic, you've got to be on a bite that's protected against local traffic. You think a deep water bite would be more or less affected by local traffic?
Well, on a lake that's that full of fish, like I hear Hartwell is, I would think it would be very protected because you should be able to run quite a few different spots, areas, and find that pattern. So, you know, sometimes a deep water bite's a spot, but I don't think that lake will be like that. I mean, Hartwell and all those lakes in there seem like you can run a pattern. They're big enough and there's enough cover. So that would really make it easier for you on a deep water bite to have a pattern where you could actually save a few areas as the tournament progresses if you needed them to, you know, get away from the crowds.
Is that assuming you're not fishing for breaking fish, though? Because if you're fishing for breaking fish, then those fish would probably go down with local traffic, right?
Yeah, and the funny thing is, I fished Clark's Hill in February once, and it was just, I mean, it was ice in the guides, and, I mean, it was as cold as I've ever been, and there were boiling fish everywhere. But once the sun hit the water, they were gone. Mm-hmm. So I think that, you know, if you have cold conditions breaking fish, you're only going to have it a little bit in the morning, and then it's not going to be a big factor through the rest of the day because those herring don't like the sun as far as, you know, that time of day. So I think it's going to be not a big factor if you do have big breaking fish because it's going to be so early in the morning.
Have you thought about how you might go about catching the down fish, meaning the fish that aren't breaking?
That's what I'm going to be looking for. I mean, I think, you know, you got to spend a day or you know, over half your practice looking for strengths that you can fish well and you have confidence in, and that's what I'm going to do. I'll be looking for those deep water fish, if they hold near structure, if they're structure for them to hold on, those types of things. You know, if that fails apart, you know, you can't figure those out, then you do have to go to the banks. You got to start beating the banks and figuring out a shallow water pattern or something else. But, yeah, I'm going to spend at least a day, maybe two, hopefully three, looking for deep fish.
Bringing any secret tackle?
No, I don't think there's much secrets anymore with Bass Fan and all the other outlets out there. There's not many secrets. I know within a week after Clear Lake catching all those big fish on a Bass Tricks, everybody in the whole country was clamoring for Bass Tricks. You just don't really, you know, it's more a confidence technique that you have. There's a lot of Western techniques out here that aren't popular out there that I'll try, but they're not really secret techniques. They're just ones that are more prevalent out here in the West as opposed to the East Coast.
But you'll probably bring some robo-worms, right?
I'll have a bucket of robo-worms. I'm going to have some tail spinners. I'm going to have a lot of the Western, you know, staples that we fish out here. But, you know, those fish are down there. They're accustomed to a certain kind of way the bait travels and stuff like that. And really, I'm just trying to adapt my baits to you know, be a little more friendly for out there, the colors and the sizes and stuff like that.
Got it, John. Well, thanks so much. Great to hear from you. And let's talk a little more as the classic gets closer.
That sounds great. Thank you for calling.
We'll see you.
Bass Fan Radio.